9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All eyes on the Fed as markets brace for its latest rate decision.
If they're going to surprise the market, they would rather surprise them in a dovish direction than a hawkish direction. They could deliver the quarter point increase right now, and that would be more or less what the markets expect.
Plus, inflation surges in the United Kingdom as food prices soar, and a grand jury could today indict former President Trump. It's Wednesday, March 22nd. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Federal Reserve today is facing one of its most difficult rate decisions yet, following recent weeks of market turmoil. Investors will be keenly watching today's announcement, which is due at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And here with everything we need to know ahead of that big decision is Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp. Greg, boy, it has been easy to lose count of the number of major economics and markets-related headlines we've had just in the last few days. What of all of that is the Fed likely to be watching most closely now, and how might we suspect that affects their calculus going into this rate move?
There are two big things the Fed is keeping an eye on right now, and the reason this decision is difficult is those two things tend to push them in opposite directions. The first thing is the same problem they've been obsessing with for the last year or two, which is that this country has an inflation problem. By a number of measures, underlying inflation is 4 or 5%, which is more than double their 2% target. And the latest data we saw does not show any improvement. If anything, it might be actually getting a little bit worse. So all else equal, that would tell the Fed they need to raise rates further and perhaps by more than the markets had been betting on just a month or two ago. Until a few weeks ago, the debate was whether at this afternoon's meeting they would announce a 25 or a 50 basis point rate increase. But of course, what we know is that something else has happened the last few weeks, which is that a bunch of banks have gotten into trouble. The Fed and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation had to announce a number of rescue operations to make sure the contagion doesn't take down any other banks. And there's now a broad concern that both the fear related to bank instability and banks themselves pulling in their lending could actually weaken the economy going forward, and that would call for lower interest rates. So those are the two big things the Fed will be weighing at this week's meeting.
Greg, it sort of sounds like the turmoil in banks is in some ways maybe helping to do a little of what the Fed has been looking for, right, in terms of cooling down the economy.
That's a pretty good bet that the Fed will actually look at the trouble the banks are going through and say, you know, that actually gets us a little bit closer to our goal of slowing the economy down so that the labor market can cool off and some of this wage and price pressure can come down. I've seen estimates that the likely tightening in credit from small banks resulting from this crisis could be worth 25 to 50 basis points on interest rates. So that alone suggests that the Fed ought to be doing a little bit less over time. But then there's what we call tail risks, which is that never mind kind of what your average expectation is, what are the possibilities of more extreme scenarios around that? And you can imagine a scenario where investors get really spooked, especially if interest rates keep going up, and the panic resumes and gets more intense. And then you're back into a much more tumultuous type of scenario, which is far worse for the economy.
And Greg, do we have any sense of what would be the most likely move from the Fed here, be it a quarter or a half a percentage point hike or, I don't know, maybe even pausing rate hikes altogether?
We don't really have a really good sense of where the Fed is right now. And for all I know, maybe the Fed itself doesn't really know. But when you step back, the markets are still assigning a better than 50% probability that the Fed raises rates by a quarter of a percentage point this week and a smaller probability that they don't raise rates at all. This is actually not a bad situation for the Fed to be in. Generally, if they're going to surprise the market, they would rather surprise them in a dovish direction than a hawkish direction. In other words, they could deliver the quarter point increase right now, and that would be more or less what the markets expect. But if they decided that what they wanted was a zero, that is to say no rate increase at all, that would tend to be taken rather well by the markets. If we were in the opposite situation, where the markets were putting very high probability on no rate increase at all, the Fed would be very hard-pressed to deliver a rate increase for fear of the bad psychological effect that would have.
And finally, Greg, I imagine communication here is going to be pretty critical, right? Obviously, actions matter, but so do words. When especially investors are hanging on pretty much everything the Fed says around these rate decisions, Jerome Powell has got to be carefully considering his words here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of those confusing times when we are forced to remember that the Fed actually has several different responsibilities. The one we're most familiar with is monetary policy, which is raising and lowering interest rates. But it's also responsible for financial stability, which is making sure that it's there as a lender of last resort to prevent a collapse in the financial system. And it's also a regulator of banks. And sometimes it struggles to keep all these roles separate. So, for example, right now, its financial stability role says it should be keeping interest rates low, but the monetary policy role says it should be raising interest rates. So it has to somehow do something today that meets both of those goals. And I would expect to see Fed Chair Jerome Powell spend a lot of time in his press conference, and I would expect the statement that comes out of the Fed accompanying its decision to try and delineate these two separate roles. It'll be very interesting, for example, if the Fed goes with a smaller rate increase or no rate increase at all, whether the accompanying forecast from Fed officials still put them on track to keep raising rates and possibly even raise that trajectory of rates further. That combination, a dovish surprise on rates today, but a hawkish trajectory on rates in the future, might be one way that they could sort of thread this needle, tell the world that they're very cognizant of the particular sensitivities right now, but that over the medium term, they are not taking their eye off the ball, which is to get the inflation rate down.
That was Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp joining us from Washington. Greg, thanks so much for walking us up to today's big decision.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Coming up, First Republic Bank is looking to regain its footing after the failure of two other lenders caused its depositors to flee. We'll have more on the U.S. banking crisis after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We are exclusively reporting that troubled First Republic Bank is beefing up its roster of advisors as it seeks options for how to stay afloat. According to sources, that includes tapping financial advisory firm Lazard, which will join McKinsey and JPMorgan Chase in reviewing a range of scenarios for the bank as it attempts to plan for a post-crisis future. And here now to discuss those options is Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Dummett. Ben, before we get to the options that First Republic is sort of mulling over here, remind us quickly of the difficulties that the bank is navigating now.
Yeah, I mean, the bank has basically been swept up into a banking crisis contagion that was triggered by the failure of SVB and then subsequent seizure of Signature, and then finally the collapse of Credit Suisse in Europe. The bank has seen a flight of some $70 billion in deposits, which forced JP Morgan and 10 other of the U.S.'s biggest banks to band together and essentially return those deposits to keep the bank afloat. I mean, S&P downgraded the credit rating deeper into junk territory. The bank has been forced to suspend its dividend in order to try to conserve cash. The shares have been swinging wildly in recent days, and the stock is down some 85% since March 8th.
Okay, so a host of challenges there. What then are the strategic options that First Republic is reportedly looking at here with the help of Lazard and some of these other advisors?
Well, it's looking at things like an outright sale of the bank, the sale of assets, or an equity offering, all of which are meant to sort of raise cash to keep the bank from disappearing, essentially.
Are those likely to be enough to achieve that?
Look, the verdict is still out. I mean, it's still very highly uncertain. For example, because of the bank's deteriorating conditions that seem to be going from bad to worse, any potential buyers are going to be reluctant to bid because in the end, they don't know what kind of business they're going to inherit, whether it's the bank in total or its specific assets. At the same time, First Republic, because of its challenges, has no real negotiating leverage. Therefore, it's likely to face all sorts of lowball offers, which its shareholders and its board might find challenging to accept. An equity offering is another possibility or option. But there again, because the bank's stock price has dropped so much, any new offering is going to be that much more dilutive to existing shareholders. So the bank could face reluctance or opposition from those shareholders to any big equity offering.
All right, a challenging road ahead for First Republic. That was Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Dummett. Ben, thank you for the update.
Thank you for having me.
In other news, the Manhattan grand jury investigating Donald Trump's role in a payment to porn star Stormy Daniels is set to convene today as it appears to be wrapping up its work. That is an indication that prosecutors could soon ask jurors to vote on an indictment of the former president. A grand jury indictment would kick off a process in which Trump would likely travel to Manhattan to face charges. Trump has denied wrongdoing and said the probe, led by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, is politically motivated. The UK's inflation rate has unexpectedly jumped to 10.4%, according to new data for February released this morning. Journal reporter Paul Hannon says the announcement caught economists off guard.
Inflation did appear to be on a downward trajectory, and most economists had expected it to dip back into single digits for the first time since August. What we're seeing is still very strong rise in food prices. They were at the fastest rate since 1989 when records began, and to be honest, probably back into the 1970s.
However, Hannon says inflation readings for the coming months are likely to show the easing that many economists had been expecting, especially since data from April 2022 captured a major surge in energy bills that isn't likely this year.
Quite the opposite, in fact. So the official forecaster for the government is still expecting inflation to fall to 3% by the end of this year. It just seems like the decline is going to take a little while longer to begin in earnest.
Shares of video game retailer GameStop have surged nearly 50% in after-hours trading after the company posted a surprise profit yesterday. The company has been working to turn around its business for close to 2 years and had posted 7 consecutive quarters of losses before Tuesday's earnings announcement. And Netflix is embarking on one of its most expensive original film projects ever. According to people familiar with the deal, the company is spending more than $200 million for science fiction movie The Electric State from the team behind Avengers Endgame. That price tag, which comes as Netflix tries to maximize the $17 billion that it spends on content each year, suggests its willingness to invest heavily in projects that can be turned into major franchises with the potential for TV show, merchandise, or video game spin-offs. A Netflix spokeswoman disputed the budget number, but declined to say what the streamer plans to spend on the movie. And finally, Google's AI has entered the chat. The company ramped up its AI battle with Microsoft this week with the launch of its long-awaited AI chatbot, Bard. The journal got a first-hand demonstration of Bard, which is designed to respond to written prompts using information that's sourced from websites such as Wikipedia and can handle follow-up questions in a conversational manner. However, Wall Street Journal reporter Miles Krupa says that Google has stopped short of integrating Bard into its flagship search engine.
Google is still calling it an early experiment. The types of AI models that these things are based on sometimes make up information or get facts wrong. And I think that makes Google cautious about integrating it into its search engine, which is super lucrative. It's the biggest source of revenue for its parent company. One thing that might be an issue with Bard going forward is it's not linking out to outside websites very much at all. And if a lot of people start using this instead of Google search and it's not linking out to websites around the internet, that could become a major battle down the line.
Google has said it will initially enroll US and UK users from a waiting list who can then access Bard via a dedicated website. And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.